Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it. Really, really excited about this conversation today. And from the questions that you've all sent in, it seems that you guys listening are as well. As you know, both Georgia and I are really into our fitness and our health when we've got the time to do it, when we prioritise
it. Maybe one more than others.
So we really wanted to explore pre and postnatal fitness today and kind of talk around the sort of guidelines about it. So a real expert in the field joining us for this conversation today, founder of The Bump Plan and Pilates PT. She's a specialist on prenatal and postnatal exercise. She's also pregnant herself. Let's welcome Holly Grant to the podcast.
How are you, Holly?
I'm good. I'm 13 weeks pregnant, so really early on, and oh, wow. I've turned that corner much earlier than I did with my first. So I'm feeling normal again. I'm feeling human, which you just really appreciate when you have felt horrific for so long.
Yeah, so good. George and I always talk about that light switch moment, and it happened for us. It doesn't happen for everybody, but the first, for me, it was at 13 weeks as well, where suddenly someone just came along and went, and I just woke up one day and thought, oh, I don't feel like I'm on like a really rough sea, just feeling constantly sick all the time.
Yeah, don't feel hungover without any of the fun today. Yeah, exactly.
And it's no joke being pregnant when you've already got a child as well. You know, it's such a luxury the first time. You can sort of nap or binge Netflix, but second time round, I felt quite guilty in that first trimester. Like I was a really boring mum because I was just so exhausted. I didn't want to get on the floor and, you know, pretend to be a donkey and things like that. So I felt a huge sense of guilt. So I think that's also really lovely to be able to kind of just play with your kid again.
Yeah.
I guess because of your job, you had to stay active, and that can be so difficult when you're feeling so unwell.
I actually found that when I was teaching, you know, anyone that teaches anything, you know, that as soon as you start teaching, you're kind of like in the zone and you're put, it's like an act. So actually teaching was quite nice because for that hour, I didn't really think about how rough I felt. Yes. And I didn't have any moments where I had to stop halfway through. We're filming, for another product at the moment. Essentially we're refilming The Bump Plan. And so in that first trimester, there were some times where during like professional filming, I had to stop, go be sick, come back and then try and like cut back into like burpees.
Oh, Holly.
And that was horrific. But in general, teaching actually was quite a nice break.
Like a respite.
Yeah. Now listen, before we get into the questions today, because there were so many of them, I guess it would be really great to kind of talk about the guidelines to prenatal fitness, because I think a lot of us have found that, you know, exercise has been such a big part of our lives. But then when we get pregnant, we almost feel like we can't do it.
So the current guidelines from the UK Chief Medical Officer are that during pregnancy, you should aim for at least 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week, which is quite a mouthful.
What's moderate?
Yeah. So if we break that down, 150 minutes is actually the same guideline as the general population. So 150 minutes should be what we were already doing, but might not have been, that carries on during pregnancy. Moderate intensity means that it's something that gets your heart rate elevated, but you're still able to talk. So that could be walking, it could be jogging, it could be swimming, it could be sex, it could be cleaning the house. It's whatever gets your heart rate up. But you should still be able to talk. So we call it the talk test. So you can literally just, you know, as long as you can sing along to a song or have a conversation, you're working at the right level. If you go above that and you couldn't talk, you're in high intensity. And I'll touch on that in a moment. So moderate intensity, or you can think of a scale of 1 to 10. 10 is you during a marathon pushing yourself to the limit. 1 is you sat on the sofa. Moderate would sit at a 6 or a 7. So it's going to look really different to everyone. What gets me to 6 or 7 out of 10 might be different for someone who maybe has never exercised before. So it's really personal to you. So that's the moderate intensity bit. And then physical activity is also key here. It doesn't have to be 150 minutes of an exercise class. It doesn't have to be 150 minutes in the gym. It's 150 minutes of physical activity. So again, that could be walking the dog, you know, walking to the bus stop. It all counts. So actually, when you look at it that way, 150 minutes of physical activity a week might be quite manageable.
Yeah. So there have been so many questions, and I think we should probably just jump straight in because I'm sure lots will come up when we read them. So this is probably one you can relate to. Currently 15 weeks, still really sick. Simple things I can do to build strength back up.
Yeah, it's a really good question because we know that we're supposed to stay physically active during pregnancy, but actually the reality of being pregnant is that you often feel pretty terrible in that first trimester at least. But with my daughter, it lasted till 16 weeks. So it's really difficult. And I think with that comes a sense of guilt. Like, I know I should be doing something, but I just can't. So I think the first thing to say is try not to pile the pressure on. You know, at the end of the day, pregnancy isn't for forever. And it might be that eventually you do come out the other side and start to feel better. So hang in there. Mm-hmm. So I think that takes the pressure off slightly. So this person that's got in touch is saying that they feel rubbish. Again, try not to pile the pressure on, but maybe start with things that feel easier that are still considered physical activity. So it doesn't have to be going and doing a prenatal fitness class. So get out there, get walking. You might not feel as nauseous, you know, and just think outside the box at first, and that might really help.
Yeah, I always think walking is actually such a good thing to do. Yeah, it clears your head, obviously, but also it is actually really good, like, for your cardiovascular, you know, fitness, isn't it? If you're even walking up hills and just generally walking, and it's a nice thing to do.
I'm gonna go on with this one, and this is from Gemma, and I can really relate to this one actually, because I was absolutely terrified about this. Not a question, but so worried more about weight gain during third pregnancy, and I really felt this during my my first pregnancy actually, and it was right at the end. I just felt like my weight gain was like galloping on, and I realized, you know, to a lot of people, they'll say, well, it's not about weight gain, and you know, you're pregnant and you're about to give birth, all that sort of stuff. But I did find it was quite an out of control space for me to be in with somebody that likes to keep themselves, you know, feeling and looking a certain way. I was a bit anxious around that. I guess it's just about kind of being okay and accepting, but also doing what you can to feel okay within, you know, your situation.
Yeah, I think a lot of us actually worry about weight gain, and we're quite scared to admit it, especially when we are pregnant and everyone's sort of looking at us thinking, oh, you should be so happy and you should love your changing body. But especially, like Zoe says, the first time round, when it first happens, you can feel quite out of control.
Yeah,
there's a lot of things in there and what you've said. And look, at the end of the day, like, for the last 11 years I've worked with women, you know, in a fitness capacity, and our whole business is based on the fact that we're about function, not weight loss. We're kind of really trying not to have that side order of diet culture. So for me, I really try hard, even if I have a client coming to our studio saying, you know, I'm getting married in a month's time and I just want to lose weight, I try really hard to recondition them to think about performance rather than losing weight. Because essentially, if you're more active, chances are that your body will do its own thing and it will find some sort of equilibrium. But I am also a female and I also am surrounded by diet culture. So I completely understand that for lots and lots of women, it's impossible to just say, I'll let my body do whatever it wants and I'm not going to be worrying about it. Yeah. That would be lovely. It would be a beautiful world, but it's also not the reality at the moment. There's a lot of weight bias out there. So it's really common to worry about the fact that you lose a sense of control, especially if we have previously used diet or exercise to control the way our body looks. It can be a really scary time during pregnancy, because there is a lack of control over how your body behaves. So I think the only way to deal with that is to make sure that you're meeting those current UK guidelines, that you're getting enough physical activity, that you're trying to add into your diet as much fruit and vegetable as possible, rather than thinking about what you can remove. And, you know, at the end of the day, your body will gain what it needs and you're doing everything that you can. And I sometimes think kind of let future you deal with that. You know, right now, yeah, you just focus on being as healthy as you can for you and your baby.
That's a nice way to put it.
Yeah. Postnatally, yeah, let's deal with that. I'm a big fan of letting future Holly deal with stuff. So maybe we just park that for now, because yeah, postnatally, I've seen bodies change drastically, you know, so... Yeah. But it is difficult. It's impossible.
Once I started to understand exactly what you were just saying, Holly, about the fact that it was more less about losing weight and more about a change in my sort of eating habits and my understanding around certain foods and what make me feel good, and the fact that things weren't, I mean, this is a kind of a bit of a deeper issue, which I think a lot of women and men experience.
Yeah.
But that sort of like real understanding on the nourishing foods and the good foods, and that no food is supposed to be there for a treat, even during pregnancy. It's like you just have what you want a little and often, and the balance is there. Once you start feeling out of control, it's quite hard to pull it back. And then you start thinking, oh gosh, you know, I need to lose weight really quickly afterwards. And it's like you said, everything in time, and you know, your body will do what it needs to do. But that takes like a deep level of acceptance as well. Acceptance and understanding, I think.
Yeah. I mean, I could talk for all day about diet culture, but essentially, you know, at the end of the day, we are not all supposed to look the same. We are not all supposed to look like supermodels. We all have a base weight. And the problem is society has taught us and told us that if we spend enough money on ourselves and work hard enough, we can all look like supermodels. And that's just not true. At the end of the day, if we are exercising, if we are eating well, we will all look different. So health is what's important, not the way we look, because looking like a supermodel, and trust me, in the industry I work in, you know, I've worked with lots of different people, it takes a huge amount of sacrifice that I just don't think our life is worth spending on. So I think we just have to appreciate that our bodies are going to do different stuff during pregnancy. Tracy down the pub, she's going to look different during her third trimester. Yeah. Compared to me, and that's cool because we've got different bodies.
Yeah, it's about like not, I guess it's not comparing as well, isn't it? That has a lot to, I get that comes into it when people are comparing themselves to friends and to, like you say, like strangers in the street or whatever. We'll get on to the next question. This is from Catherine. I'm 2 weeks postpartum and I feel like I have no energy to exercise. Where to start?
Oh, yeah, been there. So for a long time, there was a myth, essentially, that you shouldn't do any physical activity after you've had a baby until you've had your 6-week checkup with your doctor. Now, anyone who's been to that 6-week checkup will know that you don't really get a look in. They've got so much to squeeze into that appointment. You know, I had a really traumatic emergency cesarean. I didn't even get asked, do you want me to look at your stitches? You know, that 6-week checkup is really for the baby. So it's a really arbitrary time frame. And actually, there is so much that we can and should do pre 6 weeks that will help get us, that will help us with our postnatal rehab. So when we set up the bump plan postnatal, we started asking these questions to health professionals, to our insurance provider. Why is it that current fitness plans won't let you join before 6 weeks? And we found out that actually it is just an insurance issue. So we worked really hard with loads and loads of pelvic health physios, experts, diastasis experts, and our insurance company to be able to create a plan that you can start the day after you give birth. And it's really, really rare. But it's because there are things that you should do at the beginning, but you have to be sensible. And it's things like pelvic floor exercises. You can literally do those the day after you give birth, as long as you don't have a catheter in. And that's something that you don't need a huge amount of energy to start doing, but it will make a huge difference to your core strength when you do start having the energy to do more advanced stuff. Deep core activation. So that's things like stimulating your corset muscles. And that's, you could again sit on the sofa, you know, feeding or what have you. And it's a feeling of almost like, imagine when you're trying to do up tight jeans, which we can all imagine postnatally. Imagine how you would sort of almost draw your tummy in slightly to do up the button, or imagine someone's doing up a corset for you. That stimulates your deep core. Again, you don't need a huge amount of energy for that. Gentle stretching, again, that can be done on the sofa, and that's really important early postnatally. What you're aiming to do is eventually build back up to those 150 minutes of moderate intensity physical activity per week. But that is a gradual build up. So So having no energy at the beginning, totally understandable. If you don't have the energy to get out and go do a walk or anything that feels kind of more cardiovascular, then focus on your pelvic floor exercises, your deep core activation, some gentle stretches. And then when you've got the energy, then you can start reintroducing. But 2 weeks is still really early.
Yes,
I was going to say, it's literally, it feels like the day after 2 weeks, you're still like, what? And I was just going to interject and ask about doing pelvic floor. If you've had immediately after, as you were saying that about the day after, if you've had either a bad tear or you've had
episiotomy,
which I have as well. Yeah. Are you still able to, because I felt like I couldn't even, you know, the thought of even peeing at that stage was so agony. So the thought of like tightening anything or trying to find where anything was at that moment, I just couldn't do any of that.
Yeah. So pelvic floor exercises are really important whether you've given birth vaginally or cesarean. Vaginal births give you a slightly higher risk of something called a prolapse, and a weaker pelvic floor can increase that risk. So pelvic floor exercise is really important, even if you've had a cesarean, you've just carried a baby for 9 months at least. And so your pelvic floor has had a huge demand on it. It can feel uncomfortable if you've had a significant tear or an episiotomy, but if it isn't too uncomfortable, it actually helps bring blood flow to the area. So it can actually speed up recovery and the integrity of your scar. Oh, wow. So actually it can really help with tears. So it might be that you just have to try gently at first, but definitely build up as soon as you can. And the sooner you can get those reintroduced, the better.
Brilliant.
Well, that's okay. Really interesting.
That is interesting, isn't it? And that's one thing that, I mean, Georgia and I always bond, we like properly bonded on the treadmill when we after our first, when we were like, right, we're just going to get back to doing all this running. And then within about, well, I'll give it about 3 or 4 seconds of me being on the treadmill.
I was going to say 30 seconds, but I was thinking it definitely wasn't even that.
No, I was like, oh, I've weaned myself, and I like had to run off. And then I was like, oh God, we need to go back to basics here. Here's a question, and I always say this wrong, so you're going to help me out here. How to close diastasis. Is it diastasis?
Yeah, so some people call it diastasis, some call it diastases, yes. Diastasis.
Yes.
Yeah, all the same thing.
Okay, after 2 large babies, how to close it?
So let's really quickly try and talk about what diastasis actually is. So if we picture someone's tummy from the front, imagine they have a six pack. I've never had a six pack, just FYI, but imagine someone has a six pack. What we see is 2 strips of muscle down the middle of their tummy, right, with ridges in. Those 2 muscles, I almost like to think about them like 2 strips of bacon. They are your rectus abdominis muscles, and they don't connect to each other. They have a space between them called the linea alba, and it's like tissue. And for this concept, I want you to imagine almost like a balloon, like rubber on a balloon. Imagine that that's the gap between those 2 muscles. So when someone has a six pack, we see a ridge down the center, right? And it's because they don't connect to each other. So nobody has no gap. We all have a gap, and it's a linea alba. So during pregnancy, your bump has to go somewhere. And obviously it goes forwards because the spine is in the way at the back. And as it goes forwards, those 2 muscles need to move apart to make room for your baby. Otherwise you would have a divot in your bump.
Right.
So they have to separate. And how they do that is the linea alba stretches. Just like if you blew up a balloon, the balloon would get thinner and it would stretch. And that is literally what diastasis is. It's a thinning and widening of that linea alba. So it's completely normal. We all have diastasis. Clinically, 100% of women have diastasis by the time they give birth. So often I'll get asked, how can I prevent it? And you're like, you can't prevent it. And it's a perfectly acceptable part of pregnancy. Now, for 2/3 of women, that gap goes back to some version of normal on its own accord. For about 1/3 of women, it doesn't. And we don't yet really know why. Usually subsequent pregnancies, like the more pregnancies you've had, the more likely you are to have more of a gap. So postnatally, it's completely understandable that there will be a number of us who never really get that gap back to normal, but you cannot close the gap. Rehab with a physio would be great, but it can also be pricey. But there's also a lot of core work that you can do with an expert that can help reduce that gap or at least improve the integrity of that gap. So I have diastasis and I'm a Pilates teacher and I worked out the whole of my pregnancy. I still have some left for my daughter, but I can still do advanced work. I don't wet myself. You know, you can still function with a diastasis. So something like the bump plan, that was created with experts. So it's safe for people with diastasis or prolapse. And the whole point of the postnatal plan is to try to help people understand how to manage pressure and deal with the diastasis. So it doesn't mean that you can't do anything ever again. It can mean that people feel like their tummies look a bit like pendular. They'll often say like a mummy tummy. It can have an aesthetic symptom, which, you know, again, going back to the fact that we're, you know, we're only human and that might affect us. And there is a bit of research showing that diastasis can also affect like your quality of life. So it is important that you do get help, but is being mindful that we might never get it perfect, but that's also completely okay.
Are there any exercises you should avoid? Because I think, I have this thing in my mind that somebody came over to me when after I'd had Axel, and I think I was doing a plank or something, and they were like, oh, like that's brave or something. And then I suddenly thought, oh, I'd always done this. So like, I just thought, I
just crack on with it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's a really, really important comment, because often what happens is, personally what I see anecdotally, is women split into kind of two segments postnatally. The ones that literally go straight back to what they did before, and they're like, I'm going to run until they realize that they leak. I'm going to do crunches until they start noticing their tummy doesn't quite look right. Or people that are so fearful of movement that they do nothing. And then 2 years later, they're like, hang on a minute, my abs just don't feel right. So we need to kind of find a middle ground, obviously. We shouldn't go straight back to what we were doing before without some level of prehab, we call it. So those pelvic floor exercises, deep core activation. But equally, doing nothing is not good. You decondition yourself so much. There are no right or wrong exercises. You might find someone who's a high-level athlete that 4 weeks postnatal can do a plank and their core manages really well with that. But you might get someone else who does it 4 weeks later and notices that their tummy just feels like it's about to blow out. The thing I would say is there's something called hard doming. So without getting too technical, it's all about pressure management. In your core, you have a certain amount of pressure, just like a balloon has a certain amount of pressure in. When we move, we increase the pressure in that core. So imagine squeezing a balloon, we increase the pressure. What we don't want is that then there's loads of pressure pushing down on our pelvic floor, making us leak or making us feel like we've got a bit of a prolapse going on. And we also don't want loads of pressure pushing through that linear alba whilst it's trying to reconnect. So if you looked down during a plank and you noticed your tummy was very pointy and hard down the middle, you can guarantee that that is pressure pushing through that poor linear alba that's trying to get back to normal. So we would say it's more like, how are you managing the pressure during an exercise? And if you're managing it well, then fine. But if not, you need to make the exercise a bit easier.
Yeah. And you can tell actually that pressure doesn't feel like normal pressure.
No.
It feels like quite, and it's very intense. I find it, if I'm doing certain exercises now with it, I think, actually, do you know what? I don't think I can do that for very much longer. It feels like a different pressure than I've ever experienced before, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Because ideally we would want that pressure to be expelled everywhere.
Yes.
So that everywhere is managing to cope with it. But when you direct that pressure to the pelvic floor, and you increase potentially your risk of prolapse or through that midline, you're just not helping something that's trying really hard to remodel and get back to normal.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
But what we don't want is for women to be scared of movement. That's really important. You know, whilst we want to talk about like be mindful, be careful, but also don't fear movement, because I would almost say that you can do more damage doing nothing than doing something and getting a bit of doming or getting a bit of bulging. You know, it's not going to harm you immediately. Doing nothing is worse.
We'll be right back after this short break.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online.
Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Welcome back to this episode of Made by Mamas. Now, where were we?
This isn't a question, but someone's just put, no, I did the bump plan with pregnancy too, loved it. Holly is fab.
Oh,
that's nice.
The bump plan has been like just the most, yeah, most amazing project I've ever worked on. And I just hadn't realized how confused pregnant and postpartum women felt until we created it. So that's lovely to hear.
This is an interesting one. Varicose veins, second pregnancy, does exercise help?
Ooh. Yeah, so varicose veins are really common during pregnancy for many reasons. We've got more blood in our body, up to 50% more fluid in your body during pregnancy, which is a lot, which is why people say that they feel like they've got really swollen ankles, really swollen feet. So not only do we have more blood, and if we think about how gravity works, it pulls stuff down. So blood goes down, veins are supposed to bring it back up to the heart. So it puts more pressure in the vein, but also our hormones mean that our veins expand more to allow that to deal with that extra blood, which makes valves not as good at supporting the blood flow back down to your feet. So it's more common. Most women find that after their baby's born, they naturally go away when the blood level goes back to normal. But if we think about exercise and moving your body, particularly your calves, you know, and your ankles and the muscles in the leg, they help put pressure on the veins and push blood back to the heart. So exercise can definitely help because it helps get that blood moving rather than sinking down and putting pressure in the vein. Also elevating your legs during the day sometimes. So sitting with your feet higher than your heart. So it's an excuse to get to sit down, but being sedentary is not good. So sitting at your desk all day without getting up is really not ideal. So yeah, physical activity will definitely help. But if you only got them during pregnancy, they will more than likely go away once the baby's here anyway.
Yep.
I've never really thought of that. So this is from Julia. I actually don't even know what this is. But when can you go back to doing inversions after postpartum?
In upside down, George, you know.
Oh, right.
No, I don't know if that's a thing. I'm only joking. Is that right, Holly?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, like headstands.
Yeah. Headstand. Right, okay, fine. Yeah, I didn't know what that was.
So inversions tend to, when we think of inversions, we tend to think more of like yoga. So I'm not a yoga expert. So I would have to give a relatively generic answer in some much that postnatally, especially if you've had a C-section, I would just be mindful of making sure that you are feeling strong, your scar is feeling healed, you speak to your yoga instructor before you redo them, just because it can put a lot of pressure on the abdominal wall. I can't put a time frame on that. I wouldn't want to. That you just need to see how you feel.
Yep.
And actually, another question that you tend to get from people is, how do I know if I'm overdoing it postnatally? So I guess this might also come under that camp. After you've had your baby, there will be some level of bleeding. And actually, I remember getting real shocked because I had a cesarean bleeding and thinking that it was only if you had a vaginal birth that you bled. No, it's basically like all of the blood, the walls from your uterus coming back out. And we call it lochia. And that's really normal. And it tends to be quite heavy at first and then it slowly goes away. Postnatally, if you're overdoing it exercise-wise, you might notice that your lochia increases again or has clots in it, which is definitely a reason to speak to your midwife. You might just feel exhausted and you're already tired. But if you're doing some form of exercise that then makes you actually just feel really rough, fluey, you're overdoing it. And if you have any scars, vaginal or cesarean, if you are getting tenderness in those areas post-exercise, again, you need to rein it in slightly. So that inversions would come under that. If you try it and you don't feel great the next day, it might be worth waiting a bit longer.
Yeah, and I think it's that suck 'em and see thing, isn't it? Like if you are able to go back to a yoga class at whatever point, or you're practicing your inversions at home because you can't, you know, because you've got a little one and you can't leave and it doesn't feel right. I think, you know, it's a big lesson that Georgia and I, you know, really discovered quite early on, was that we were almost pushing ourselves through what we thought we should be doing or what we used to do, and not listening to our body in its current state after giving birth. So that actually a lot more damage came in for me with pelvic floor and various other, you know, things that I was noticing. And I was like, well, surely I could just go back to what I was doing before. And it's just not the case. You know, really being aware of how your body is feeling, you know, day to day as well. It's not, you know, one day you might have more strength than others. One day you might be able to do something that you can't do the next. Yeah. It's really about being aware of how you feel, I think.
Yeah. Actually, I wanted to ask you, I guess my training's always been running or like HIIT workouts, or, you know, workouts where like I'm really sweating and my heart is really racing. So low impact cardio is something I've never really, I mean, I've tried the odd Pilates or yoga class, but it's something I've never really got on with because I feel like I don't see like the instant, you know, that I've just done something really like challenging there. But can you just talk us through what the benefits are?
Yeah. And I just want to okay the way that you think about that as well, because again, sadly, because of diet culture, there's a real emphasis on, you know, like sweat like a pig to look like a fox, go hard or go home, like unless you're
sweats
dying.
You're fat crying.
Which is just such disgusting comments, aren't they? And like, they're the bane of my life in the fitness industry when that is so far removed from our message. And so it is ingrained in us that unless we are burning thousands of calories, is it even worth it? You know, unless it's on your Strava, did you even do it? It's not a great message to give, because actually, even if we go back to what the guidelines are from the chief medical officer, 150 minutes of physical activity, but they also want you to make sure that that combines both cardiovascular work, so stuff that gets your heart rate up, that is important, but also strength work. And what I see a lot in studio is clients who've avoided strength work because all they've done is cardio. And if you don't support the level of strength that is needed to run and spin and cross train, you are going to get injured. And so it's really important. What's important to think about with cardio is cardiovascular work is anything that gets your heart rate up, right? We're working our cardiovascular system. Now, you can do something that is low impact that gets your heart rate up. If you think of something like rowing, rowing is not, doesn't have impact. We're not running and banging on the floor, but it gets your heart rate up. And so with a bump plan, like all the cardio exercises are low impact, but you get your heart rate up. So it's just working out the difference between low impact cardio and then low impact strength work. So Pilates would be considered like a low impact strength work. And people often think, well, because it's low impact, it's going to be easy. But anyone that Pilates with me or on the reformer, it burns. Next day you're like, I didn't even know there was a muscle there. I can't cough now. And it's really, really important we're doing both. If we want to future-proof our body, and I think sadly, because of the emphasis on weight loss, people tend to veer towards cardio, but you can only do cardio for so long without following it up with some strength work before you get injured.
Brilliant. That's such great advice. Yeah. I love this one. Struggling to eat healthily in the first trimester, craving all the crap. Help.
Yeah, white food is kind of potatoes. What most people want. Yeah. And, you know, you find lots of people have food aversions. I couldn't stand the smell of garlic or onions. And my husband's a real foodie, so he found that really frustrating. And I found him finding it frustrating. so you tend to find, like anything that smells spicy or aromatic or garlicky, you don't want. You just want white food. And you know what, again, you kind of have to just listen to your body with that. There is no point trying to force it to eat other stuff. Where possible, add in some fruit or veg, even if it's, you know, like one type of veg you can stomach, just go for it. But it's for most people, it's not for forever. So I think you just need to be really kind to yourself and know that everyone is the same in their first trimester.
Yeah, exactly.
Toast and chips.
Do you know what? I love pasta now, but I once or twice a week, I used to make a pasta sauce with loads of veg in it. I mean, there would be so much cheese on top of this pasta after. You couldn't even taste that it was a tomato-y sauce. But in my head, I used to think, okay, cool. I've had loads of vegetables on those 2 days.
Yeah.
Even if it was, completely hidden in cheese and pasta, but there we go.
You got it down. I also really got into juicing or like making smoothies, just because I thought, well, at least if I can just drink one, and it doesn't even have to be like a big glass, if I can just get half of it down me, and like I'd put all kinds of, you know, peanut butter and things to make it taste quite, and sometimes I put a little like teaspoon of Nutella in it, you know, so I could like try and mix it up a bit, but know that I was getting, you know, some nutrients in, then I would like relax a little, because I just wasn't eating any of that crap. It was basically, it was all just mashed mashed potatoes, gravy, you know, crisps and, you know, croissants.
Yeah, I loved jacket potatoes, pasta, toast. I mean, actually, I still love all those things, but yeah,
they're all a lot bland, more. Bland white foods. So yeah, like what you're saying, Zoe, about just like add something in. And as long as you're taking kind of like a pregnancy specific supplement, you know, like a multivitamin, and you've got your folic acid in as well, you will get more. And your body's actually very clever when you're pregnant. It slows down the transition of food through the digestive system, which is why we tend to get constipated, so that it draws out more nutrients from everything you eat. So actually, you know, your body's really, really clever. So just don't put too much guilt on yourself. You just need to get through it. You just got to exist. Yeah, and then you'll
exactly.
be fine.
George, should we do one more?
That's what I was going to say. Should we finish up on this one? Any recommendations for free resources on postpartum pelvic floor exercises? Love ya.
Yeah. So on the Bump Plan, on our website, there is a resources page actually. And when you drop down, it's got, we've got two podcasts. One is Bun in the Oven, which is kind of about the different ways people become parents, so that's really interesting, and the Strong Women podcast. But then it also says blog, I think, and in there is an article specifically about early postpartum pelvic floor exercises. There's articles in there about the pelvic floor. I think sometimes it's that we actually just don't even know what the pelvic floor looks like, where it is, what's happening when we do our pelvic floor exercises. So there's loads of stuff in there about that. Also there's the Squeezy app, which is an NHS app. So, you know, it's evidence-based, and I think it costs like £2 or something, and it teaches you how to do your pelvic floor exercises. It reminds you to do your pelvic floor exercises. And it also has a database where if you need an NHS or private pelvic health physio, you'll be able to find one in your area as well. So yeah, the Squeezy app is really important. And just quickly on that note, if there's time, because we haven't talked about it yet, prolapse. And this is a question we get asked a lot about. The reason why pelvic floor exercises, or one of the many reasons why they're so important postnatally, is that pelvic organ prolapse is where one of the pelvic organs, so the bladder, the uterus, the bowel, is no longer supported by the pelvic floor well enough, and one or more of those organs slips down into the vaginal canal. So some people will find that they have a very mild prolapse, and that just feels a little bit, they might not feel anything, but they might feel a bit of bulging down into the vagina, or they might have pain or numbness during sex. At the other end of the spectrum, with a more extreme prolapse, they might even see the vaginal wall coming out of the vaginal opening. So might actually be able to see something or feel something. And that is usually because the pelvic floor has weakened and stretched, and it is not able to support the pelvic organs any longer. And it's about 50% of women who have had a vaginal birth will have some form of prolapse. So it's actually really quite common. Whereas if we can have a really strong, really functional pelvic floor, we're going to give those pelvic organs much more support. And it is more common with a vaginal birth, but anyone can get a prolapse. And so it's just really important that we are giving that pelvic floor the support. And during pregnancy, the pelvic floor is under such a huge demand. So we need to kind of get back in there as soon as we can. And then going to something like heavy weight training that puts loads of pressure down, or like sprinting, running too early on, is going to put that pelvic floor under even more strain. So we just need to make sure we're getting in there with pelvic floor work early, before we then start doing stuff that could increase our risk of a prolapse.
And you know what, Holly, I'll just kind of come in on there and finish with this, that I have spoken about this so passionately, because I had no understanding. There was no help for me afterwards, and I just carried on doing what I was doing. You know, I like to exercise at quite, you know, I can do the high impact, but also the low impact. But my high intensity training is where I felt like I got most of my kind of, I don't know, kicks out of, I guess. And I just carried on going. And I was like, my pelvic floor is completely ruined here. And it's taken me a really long time. So anybody that's listening that thinks, oh, you know, I'll do it tomorrow. Even just standing, brushing your teeth, you can do it there, but you need to know where it is, and you need to know that you're doing it right. And actually, I really believe that the NHS have got a bigger responsibility to give us more information around that at the time. You know, I was doing it wrong. I was like squeezing my bum hole for ages.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh yeah, here we go. I'm doing my pelvic floor. It's completely the wrong area. I've got a very tight bum hole, but you know, it's like everything else as well.
It's really helpful.
Yeah, really helpful. So yeah, it's a work in progress for me still. you know, but I have, yeah. I have come on quite far. So yeah, definitely do it.
It's essentially you want to close the three holes of the pelvis. So you want to close anus, vagina, urethra, and then you want to lift. So it's a squeeze and a lift. That makes a huge difference. But yeah, the more you practice, the more you learn, the better.
Brilliant. Brilliant. Holly.
Thank you so much, Holly.
Yes, you're so welcome. Brilliant. And we'll definitely get you back on because there were so many other questions. I feel like this is a subject that we can just keep on discussing.
Yeah. It's a bit of a minefield and there's a lot of misinformation out there. So just make sure that you're following people like the Active Pregnancy Foundation. They're a charity trying to make sure that the industry is like all sharing the same information. It's evidence-based. The Bump Plan is all evidence-based. We use loads of experts, so you can trust anything from the Bump Plan. I hope that's been helpful.
Super helpful. Thank you so much. Thanks, Holly.
Thanks. Bye.
I feel like Holly Grant was made to come on this podcast because she gave such incredible, like, what brilliant advice. You know, it wasn't too much information, but she was very clear on her messaging and it was very inclusive and like realistic as well.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It was so realistic. And also just, but you know, when she was saying about waiting till the 6-week check to exercise, you know, some of us feel like we want to be doing something, and she's saying, well, actually you can be sitting feeding your baby and doing your pelvic floor, or you can be sitting on the sofa doing some stretches and it's gonna help you. But equally, you're 2 weeks postpartum and you're not gonna have any energy, so don't be hard on yourself. Love
exactly
her.
Yeah.
Loved
and me her. So we're gonna just give you a couple of products that we've been using around the kind of health and fitness space that we're loving. George, do you want to kick us off?
Yeah, so I recently got an Apple Watch. It doesn't have to be an Apple Watch though. There are so many others. And especially because I'm working from home, and also I feel like I'm always rushing around. You know, I'm jumping in the car, driving Gigi to nursery, and I've got 5 minutes to get back before we're recording. And there's actually not that much time like walking. And so it's made me really mindful of how many steps I'm getting, especially on those working from home days. And, you know, sometimes it's like 1,000 steps, maybe not even that, which is nothing. And I think there's so much pressure to get like this 10,000 steps in.
Oh, it's impossible.
Okay, I very rarely do that, especially if it's a day where I've actually also had an hour out to go to the gym or something. But I do really try now. If I, you know, I've been sat at my desk for a few hours and I think, okay, I've got 20 minutes where I need to go and clear my head, I'll do it while I'm walking. Or if I can do a talking meeting, I'll do it on the phone and I'll go out for a walk while I'm doing it. And it's just made me so much more conscious about getting those steps in, not just for, you know, exercise benefits, but for my mind.
Yeah.
I just find it really interesting. And also for your sleep. I mean, it tracks all sorts of stuff. There are super fancy ones you can get, but there are really basic ones too.
Yeah, brilliant. I was a bit worried about getting one of those because I thought, oh God, well, my producer at work was like, you know, I get a message that says that I'm being lazy or like, you know, that I haven't done enough work or like stand up or drink some water. And I'm like, I don't want a fucking bossy little thing on my arm just telling me what to do and how I feel all the time. But actually, some days I'm like, oh God, I've probably walked 60 steps today. I probably should go out and have a walk. So maybe, you know, there's pros and cons to it.
There are. Exactly.
Now, we got a message the other day from somebody, and it's really stayed with me, and it was about something that we had linked on Instagram, and it was a really honest message, and it was this wine opener is completely unrealistic in terms of budget. I think it was like 80 quid for a wine opener. And it's actually really stayed with me the last week or so. And I wrote back to this. She was lovely. And I wrote back to her and said, look, we always really, really try to give you a range of, you know, products that we love and a range of budgets, right, to suit. We try our hardest to link, you know, high street stuff, you know, maybe a little bit more expensive, just so that everybody's got like an idea on what's out there. So thank you for highlighting that to us. I'm going to talk about two sets of lots of leggings that I'm wearing at the moment. One is a brand called Vuring.
Yes.
Vuri?
Vuri, yes. I Vuri think we actually clothing. Have the same ones.
Yes, I've got the Studio Pocket leggings.
Same.
And I've got them in grapefruit, but they come in like four,
black,
five, six,
like lilac.
Yeah, different colours.
Yeah. The blue colour. They're really, really lovely quality.
Yeah, and my big thing about leggings is them going sort of saggy around the bum. You know, they don't dry quickly. They start, you know, they don't wash up very well, all that kind of stuff. These leggings are £95. So they are on the more expensive, you know, end of the spectrum. But for quality, I've been using them for the last 3 months. They are absolutely brilliant. So there is one end of the scale for you. And then I want to talk about New Look, and I want to talk about their activewear, which I also love and use pretty much every other day. And you know, they're right, you know, the leggings that you can get from there are like 20 quid, 25 quid, and they are, in my opinion, just as good.
Yeah, I was going to say, I had a leopard pair, which I still have, and I think I've posted them. I'd love to go back on Instagram, probably for the last 2 years, wearing them like once a week. And I think they were under 20 quid. I think they're about like $17.99 or something.
Brilliant.
I don't love running in them.
Because they fall down.
Well, no, they don't fall down, but I feel like they're really hot. I don't know. Maybe they're not like a particularly breathable fabric, but I absolutely love them for day to day. And also like if I'm doing like a weight session or something in the gym. But again, they stay up. They're squat proof. Fantastic for quality for the money. So yeah.
Great.
And just to finish up, you know, we talked to a lot of experts on here. And as we know, like experts can be pretty expensive if you want to do a one-to-one with somebody, especially in the fitness space. And I've recently been on a bit of a, I don't say fitness journey, but I guess I needed a little bit of accountability. And so I started working with an online fitness coach, which is significantly cheaper than working with a PT like in the gym or at home or whatever. And he, his name's Sam West, but there are, you know, loads out there depending on, I guess, who, you know, what personalities that you match with, or you know, you like their ethos or whatever. And he sets me daily challenges, so a workout, I think he sets me 3 or 4 workouts a week, and I have to tick it off the list. Have I drunk enough water? And I tick it off the list, and it's been so great for me, just to keep me on track. So in my head, I know I don't always get the 4 workouts done. I get 3 maybe done, but he checks in with me to ask me, oh, you know, have you got anything coming up this weekend that we should account for? Do I need to switch up your plan a little bit? It's really great. So yeah, definitely something to look into if you want a little bit of help.
And I think everybody listening would like to give you a massive round of applause for your amazing before and after photos on Instagram. And I know that that was a really, really massive deal for you, but you looked incredible. And
you
know, your dedication to it whilst not being able to like sacrifice all the things that you love in life as well has been really great.
So, that's what I was going to say, mate. Small changes. And that's why I wanted to put it out there. So yeah, thank you.
Well done. We're proud of you. Thank you for sending in all of your questions. As always, it's been a really fascinating Friday's Q&A. We would love you to rate, review, subscribe, and please give the podcast a little follow. And if you do have somebody that you know isn't listening to the podcast, that's a new mama or just needs a bit of help in various different areas, let them know about us, because we're trying to reach more people at the moment.
Spread the word. And if there are any experts that you've seen or guests you'd like to hear from, then please do drop us a DM on Instagram. We're on @MadeByMamas, and we'll be back on Tuesday. Made by Mamas is an Insanity podcast production, and today's episode was produced by the lovely Charlotte Mason.
Insanity Group.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.